Hello, this is Tony Bardock of the Little Guitar Arming, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
All I know is that you never really had a good chance to make it out of this alive.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Music's on the Menu. I am broadcasting live from UBC in the unceded traditional and ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish Nation peoples. I am Alex and my co-host,
Hugh.
And we got some pretty good stuff to talk about with y'all today. We're going to be going over the new Lil Yachty album, Let's Start Here, as well as Sam Smith's Gloria. Before we get into anything, though, it's important to mention that it is Fun Drive Week here at the station, and we're trying to raise money to get a new transmitter, or at least make transmitter upgrades. If you've ever been to UBC and you've seen those radio antenna on top of Gage Tower and you're wondering what those are for, yeah, it's for this. It's for our voices and all the other beautiful voices at the station. So if you have the means and you'd like to help out, please go to citr.ca/donate. That would be a massive help. Any amount is extremely appreciated. Hugh, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. How are you? Back after a week off.
Yep.
And we got a week of a lot. This is the deepest week, I think, just of new music. Obviously, we have to talk. Yachty's record is front and center.
Mm-hmm.
If you're tuned into contemporary or popular music, then you're aware of the gravity that this record has demanded and the attention. Like you said, this is a true psychedelic rock record.
Yep.
Truly, this is not like a G-Eazy or Speeding Bullet, Kid Cudi. This is like, I mean, this is pretty much the intro track, The Black Seminole, 7-minute monster, literally sounds like something straight off of Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable. You and I heard it and we were so confused. We didn't know if he was genius or what was going on.
Mm-hmm. If he was just losing his, like if he was just trying to be deep but wasn't.
Yeah.
Or what the heck was going on. Yeah, so for those who aren't in the loop on Lil Yachty, before we get too deep into this.
Yeah, we should backtrack.
Yeah.
Get some context.
Yeah. Lil Yachty burst onto the scene in the mid-2010s along with a bunch of other SoundCloud rappers. Is basically mumble rappers, SoundCloud rappers is the banner that Yachty has been understood to be under. People like him, Lil Pump, Smoke Perp, Lil Uzi Vert, 21 Savage, they all came up at the same time. And coming out with, they all had pretty similar sounds, a lot of big instrumentals.
All of them were, Lil Yachty was, his music was adversive. People didn't like how energetic and youthful it sounded. It was
aggressive and high energy.
Borderline, borderline annoying.
Yeah.
I think Minnesota to this day is an annoying song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of objectively bad music, but
yeah,
it was catchy.
Yeah, and it was exciting.
It was exciting.
It was fruitful.
Mm-hmm. And it caught a lot of people's attention. But
that was about the as good as it got for him for a while.
Yeah. But the thing with a lot of those guys is they peaked pretty much with their first project, because that's when they were the youngest, the freshest, and the most energetic.
And we were the youngest.
And we were the youngest. And so there's a nostalgia factor to a lot of that early work now. But
I mean, I do think that, yeah, like Lil Yachty's Lil Boat 2, he dropped all these Lil Boat. His debut album, Nothing to Prove, is actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It did well. It sold well. I mean, just looking at the streaming numbers, Nothing Here is below 5 million, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
Considering it is a 16-track record, and you don't trust Lil Yachty to make 16 good tracks. So I thought this was I personally just came out in mid 2018. The sound was a little different. He was rapping. He has a crazy feature list on this record. But then he took 2 years off and he came back with a terrible record, at least in my opinion. There was nothing on Lil Boat 3 is like pretty much 30 songs long. It does have Oprah's Bank Account, which is an awesome song. And then he kind of, and then I turned my head from Yachty after that.
Yeah, Yachty was someone who I think for a lot of people had kind of forgotten about, or at least stopped caring about. Was just kind of another similar sounding voice in a sea of people kind of making a lot of the same stuff and showing limited artistic progression. Just coming out with a lot of samey things, not a lot of like thought put into making like a good album or like many, many good songs. Just like, let's get some banger singles and a bunch of other filler to actually like make this thing an album or a mixtape and just throw it out in the world. But the last couple years...
Yeah, that was we should say that was like 3 years ago. Like, yeah. Lil Yachty, I think he truly did fall off. Mm-hmm. I only actually, like, maybe this is kind of adversarial, but I kind of think he only maintained the smallest bit of relevancy because he hung out with Drake a lot, and therefore he was on a lot of just, like, Drake's social media. He was kind of only he lost his relevancy in music, and he was only relevant via social media.
Yeah, because I was gonna say something that Yachty's been doing recently, which got me excited and interested to hear the new album before I even knew anything about what it was about, was just the fact that like he's been hanging out with people like Drake and 21 Savage and had like a surprisingly high amount of creative input on her loss.
Yeah, and he had writing credit on the newest Rocky record or track, which is dope. The
ASAP Rocky.
Yeah, the problems. How many problems or same problems?
Something to do with problems.
That's a really cool instrumental and record. And I remember you came to me and you said, shout out the Nelk podcast. You said, hey, I just watched the Nelk podcast. I'm really excited for Yachty's new record. And
yeah,
I was like,
Lil Yachty did an interview on the Nelk Boys. Which, shout out to the Nelk Boys, I guess.
Yeah, they always get guys to kind of just talk about... Their interviews are never really normal interviews, so it's always a different perspective, which is interesting.
But yeah, Yachty was on the Nelk podcast, and he was talking about the new album, and he was talking about how he was excited about how he was doing something different, and it seemed to me like he really was really cared about the art and was really wanting with the next project for it to be something that he really put a lot of thought into, that he had put a lot of work and energy into. And now that Let's Start Here has arrived, I'd say that's the case.
I'd have to agree. I remember
the album's
it's insane.
It's insane. Do you have the list of collaborators? Yeah, because this really shows a lot of thought and planning.
And I think that is the But my favorite part of the record is that he, now unlike Drake, who tried to do something different with Honestly Nevermind, he just got his same producers to make the guys who just mastered the Drake sound. He had them make house beats, and I loved them. But the greater perception around the record was he didn't try, and if he wanted to make an awesome house record, he should have gone to people who make house beats and worked with them. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what Yachty did to make this indie record. It sounds insane.
This psychedelic rock, Pink Floyd-inspired album, is he got people who operate in that vein.
Yeah. Executive production by Sad Pony, a.k.a. Jeremy Risen, who is one of the main producers for Eve's Tumor, who makes some grandiose and atmospheric and intergalactic music. It is, like, really an experience listening to Eve's Tumor. He had Mac DeMarco on here. He had Benjamin Goldwasser of MGMT, Jacob Portrait of Unknown Moral Orchestra, both members of Magdalena Bay. Then he had vocalist Diana Gordon, Justin Skye, Daniel Caesar's on here at the end, Fouché, and all of them. And those are not just like you hear those are like R&B singers, but they really add to the psychedelic rock effect. A lot of those features sound like Great Gig in the Sky. They're at the top of their register, and they're just belting over these insane instrumentals, mm-hmm. crafted by some of the most influential and popular psych rock artists, contemporary and past. And even like MGMT, he brought MGMT in, and the songs that you know MGMT on are awesome. Mm-hmm. And he even contributes to the psych rock factor. And that's my favorite part of the record, is just the care that he took to make it sound like he really knew, just like he really was listening to indie rock. This is not the Jeezy indie rock where he has no, or like take a day trip, make a rock beat. Mm-hmm. This is like actual musicians. You can hear all the musicians are real. I don't think there's a drum machine on here once. And it's, I mean, it's jaw-dropping, man. Coming from Lil Yachty.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I wrote down some notes
when I was
listening to the album. They're just, like, brief thoughts. But, crap, where are they? Yeah. Like, Lil Yachty made an album that my dad would enjoy.
Yeah.
Which is a miracle, almost. Yeah. Like, it's incredible. And, what we've been wanting from a lot of these SoundCloud rappers, like people like Yachty, people that what we've been wanting from the people who came up at the same time as Yachty, who have been making a lot of the samey type of music, is just some artistic growth and evolution. And goddamn, if this album isn't evolution.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I don't. I mean, it's maybe we should just play the song.
Do we play the song and come back?
So.
Because I think
there's
there's
context for mm-hmm. just because we're this might be the most we've praised any record, and it comes from Lil Yachty.
Yeah,
and you and I were listening to some Lil Yachty tracks the other night prior to this, and we were unimpressed.
Yeah,
but this is insane.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should play a track here. We'll play The Ride.
Yeah,
second track off of Lil Yachty's pretty much restart to his career.
Yeah.
This is The Ride from Let's Start Here.
Making eye contact
So that was The Rise.
The Ride.
Or The Ride, sorry.
Yeah. So as we were, as you and I were sitting here listening to this, we were discussing possibly the most important thing on this record, to be honest, that's truly make or break, which is Yachty's vocals.
Yes.
Now, what we did not mention about the beginning of Yachty's career was that Yachty's vocals were either people love them or hate them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a kind of a weak point, was that it was one or the other with Yachty. And people had a really hard time coming around to him because he kind of sounds goofy. He doesn't sound tuned in.
Yeah, he has a very kind of high-pitched voice.
Yeah, like he's eating gummy bears. Like gummy bears in his mouth. Sometimes it's hard to understand him. And you and I were looking at the streaming numbers, and the title track, The Black Seminole, it's 7 minutes. It is it's insane. It's definitely the best record on the album, at least from my perspective. But the streaming numbers just drop after that. And you and I were like, well, why would you listen to The Black Seminole
and not go further?
So just we quickly came to the conclusion that people heard his vocals and were like, this is dope, but I can't get past his vocals. And when I reached out to my friends and family about this, because I always like to bounce opinions around, multiple people said, oh, his vocals ruin it.
And I don't disagree.
Mm-hmm.
I have obviously a lot of praise for the ambition of the album, and the instrumentals are mm-hmm. phenomenal.
Yeah.
But then Yachty's voice comes in, and they're not very good. They don't sound great. He sounds kind of small
mm-hmm.
over a lot of the tracks.
The content is, there's not much content, period.
There's not much part. No, there's not maybe there is, and we're just not hearing him very well, but that's kind of another issue.
Yeah.
He doesn't like say a ton.
No, there's no, but I mean, like, the falsetto works for this. Like, for Yachty, I think this is the best that Yachty can do here. And a perspective that I heard a lot that I didn't think about was, oh, it's a shame that these instrumentals are with Yachty. But that's what I like so much about him, is that Yachty went, like, these instrumentals are Yachty's. That's the coolest part, is that he got people to do this.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that musically, this is what he does with them. He's still insane. Like, regardless, it's still a record I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But the weakest part is directly the creative input he directly has.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
The part of the album that's the worst is the part that you know he did.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. But, you know, they've grown on me.
Yeah.
Like, the first listen,
it's not unlistenable for me.
No, it's not unlistenable.
But I could see why some people would.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe my older brother.
Yeah.
Would be, like, who's really into this, super musical, has the ear, like, could probably play some of these things, would be like, what is this guy doing on this instrumental? And that's fair, but that's also, like, there's, like, a hierarchy in listening to music, kind of. And, like, when you're up here, you kind of tend to look down on things like that. But for, like, the masses, I still think this is a dope record. And absolutely. I think it's maybe it's not easy listening, like Sam Smith, but
it's not, well, easy listening. I mean, you can just have this as background noise. Like, you can just have mm-hmm. these instrumentals going in the background of whatever you're doing,
yeah.
And it's cool.
Yeah.
So in that way, it's easy listening.
Yeah. Maybe we should round the discussion off, because we were, before we were going to discuss longevity.
Yeah, that's I was about to bring up, like, yeah. Where do you think Yachty goes from here? Because this album, I mean, we mentioned the streaming numbers earlier. I don't really care too much about numbers.
Yeah, I think.
But they
I
are surprised. Like, 6 million for the most played song on the album feels small, because I feel like, based on pure anecdotal evidence, that it seems like the music fans on the internet have just been going cuckoo for cocoa nuts over this record.
Mm-hmm. And you and I were having this discussion last night.
But granted, though, too, is I feel like it takes a while for songs to build up an amount of streams that sort of feels appropriate for how many people are talking about it, if that makes sense. Like, it does take a song longer than I would normally expect for it to get up to the amount of streams that I think it
Agreed.
Deserves.
Agreed.
So, give it time.
Yes. And I also think that, like you said, like if you went on Hip Hop subreddit, or you just went to, like, the big music content creators like Fantano or Sean C, like, it's largely raving. People are largely raving about this, but those aren't the average listener. Those are people like you and I who sit down and we listen to the record on Thursday night.
Yeah.
The masses, I don't know if you can listen to this record. I don't know if our buddies mm-hmm. sit down and hear the first track and keep going. Which goes back to our discussion on longevity, where you and I kind of had a disagreement on just the definition and the concept of longevity. Where I was like, oh, like, you were like, oh, mainstream doesn't matter. Correct. But I think mainstream matters for Yachty, because unlike Tyler, the Creator, or Drake, or Olivia Rodrigo, or there's no, like, fan base that no matter what, they'll go to it.
Mm. He has to build that up.
He has to build that up. And because this is so out of left field, the quality is there.
Mm-hmm.
I might fall flat in the industry because it's so left field and because he's had such a shaky reputation. Does this mean he... But like you said, we were... Like, the biggest point you're saying is, look, now there's interest in Yachty.
Absolutely.
Trippie Redd recently dropped a record.
Yeah.
They're
comparable because, you know, they're contemporaries for sure.
Trippie Redd went in that, like, Play by Cardi, Whole Lotta Red rage thing.
Mm-hmm.
Lil Yachty went this way. There's debatably more people...
Trippie Redd made, like, the safer decision. The decision that would put him back into the mainstream.
But it didn't.
But it didn't, because it's Trippie Redd.
Yes, because he's kind of so far gone. Too much time has passed.
Yeah.
The quality of the product has dipped to a certain level that it doesn't matter. This is, but Yachty maybe took the risk. And look, there, like, for you and I, there will be interest in him. Does this mean his longevity? Is he around? I mean, I guess it doesn't matter, because he's still going to be making music. Yeah. His mainstream longevity, I think, is done regardless.
Yeah, well, someone that I was thinking about as, like, someone who, like, has probably will have longevity, but isn't, like, mainstream, is someone like Denzel Curry,
mm-hmm.
who, like, makes really good music. But then there's a thing you said earlier about, like, having a dedicated fan base. Like, there's Denzel Curry fans who are just going to keep coming back, and Curry's going to keep feeding them good stuff.
Exactly.
Whereas Yachty had a fan base, but maybe we're more loyal to just the SoundCloud sound and vibe, and not necessarily him and his art. And so then when that interest in just the thing falls off, or he comes down, and then... You come out with the psychedelic rock album after you've been known as a trap rapper. And, you've got to build up core fan base. So I guess...
Yeah, the crowd might disperse a bit there.
Yeah, but can he keep the people that don't disperse stay? Because that's what matters.
What do you think that he...
I guess the question
is, where does he go next?
That's really the question, is where does he go next? Does he make another one of these albums?
I think the bigger question is, are the people who made the instrumentals willing to do it again?
It's been a critical success.
Yeah, it has.
And I'm sure
he's a lot of fun to work with.
Oh yeah.
So, but where does he go? Like, can he do another psych rock album? He could probably do one more.
Yeah, I think.
But it has to be on the same par. If the par drops, then he could be in trouble.
Yes, he's got to keep hitting home runs mm-hmm. for a bit here.
Yeah.
But I think what I think this album means is, for one, Lil Yachty's days as a rapper are gone.
You think so?
Not, I mean, sure, yeah, he could rap on a song again here or there, but I think the name of the album has a lot of symbolism.
Yeah,
let's start here. He's saying, this is the new starting point for my discography.
Mm-hmm.
This is, we're rebooting LilYachty.exe.
Yeah.
This is the new starting point. And so he's made a declaration of, like, this is what I do now. And so, or at least this is the vein I'm trying to be in now. I'm not trying to do what I used to do. I'm trying to go in a more experimental, little more, maybe not abstract, perhaps. A more experimental, more psychedelic, more indie direction. And so maybe the next album is another psych rock thing like this. Maybe it's more indie, but I would be very surprised. I would be disappointed if Lil Yachty's next album's like a rap album again.
No, he can't do that.
Or if it's
do you have
hip-hoppy.
Like it was kind of universally a thing that like people didn't trust Yachty to come out with good content repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
So do you trust Lil Yachty to assemble the Avengers again and have an amazing body of music again, and then obviously excluding his vocals, like just instrumental, an amazing body of instrumentals and a crazy team. Do you trust him to do it again? I do, but I don't. As someone who was so deep in trap, and it felt like he was musically constrained. I mean, I'm not sure how he can. I feel like this is the peak already. Like, or I just don't trust him to make a psych rock album that's better. I can see it be different, and maybe if it's different, then it's fine. But I'm not sure. I think he might have to switch off psych rock. He's gonna have to go a different kind of route. I think that comes from me just not trusting his previous output of continuous good music.
Well, I think it's a lot to ask for a new sound or a different vibe. No, not a different vibe, but I think it's a lot to ask for like a new sound every record. Like I think you're asking too much of the guy if you want him to switch it up again for the next project.
I meant, do you trust him to make another album that's also out of left field, because we're assuming that he's doing the same, that sounds sonically as amazing? Because that's where I start to waver. I don't know if he can do that again. But, and that's because his prior music has been poor. He hasn't mm-hmm. released two good tapes in a row ever, at least in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But because this was so amazing, and it sounds like he really had his ear in the right place. I mean, this is like you said, like the first minute we were like, oh my God, is this Pink Floyd?
Yeah.
So maybe he's like really got his mind wrapped around this and he knows what he's doing. And if that's the case, then I look forward to the next Yachty, which is probably quite a ways down the line. But.
Yeah, but I think it's evidence by the people, because Yachty didn't even have the precedent of this to get MGMT and Mac DeMarco, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
Like, he was coming, he was the broccoli guy. He was the Oprah's bank account guy. And he was still able to convince those people to come and work with him on this project. And now that he's got the precedent of Let's Start Here being the success that it was, that it is and continues to be, I wouldn't be surprised if more people like, I don't think you'll, I mean, what do I know about musicians? I don't know anything about musicians, but I don't think it'd be that hard for him to convince people in a similar vein or the same artist again. Yeah, and as long as he's got the money for it.
And he's got a lot of that.
Yeah, as long as he's got money and he's got money to pay people and also a good concept to convince people to come and work with him, then
I expect something similar.
I would expect a similar quality because the strength of the album is in its collaboration.
100%.
So
there's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. So
with that being said,
yeah,
should we transition to Gloria by Sam Smith?
Should we play another song off the record,
yeah,
before mark our transition? Because we've also got to play some Fun Drive PSAs.
All right. So then I think that I would. Do you want to play? I think we should play Say Something.
All right.
I think it's the song that can be the easily enjoyed the most universally.
Okay.
So this is Say Something by Lil Yachty off of Let's Start Here.
Say something. Can you help me find a bathrobe? I'm so cold without it.
What?
Can you help me find a bathrobe? I'm so cold without it.
Maybe you can go to...
I heard at CITR you can donate during Fun Drive from February 2nd to 9th to get cool prizes like lighters, wine glasses, bathrobes, and more. Donate to CITR to help community radio thrive.
To donate, go to citr.ca/donate.
Hey there, this is Dan from The Shakespeare Show. This week is Fun Drive here at CITR, the one time each year where we ask for your support to help us keep local, independent, and alternative voices on the air. For me, CITR is important because we get to play all sorts of genres and eras of music, and yes, and we get to say just about anything other than stuff that's discriminative or might put any or might put somebody in danger or whatever. But anyways, and this has changed my life because, you know, well, I never thought I would be doing something like this. I mean, I'm just glad I get to do it right now during an epidemic from home. I've been doing this for nearly 8 years. And if you are in a position to contribute, please visit citr.ca/donate to donate. Thank you so much.
This is Pure Dracula from MacLew, and you are tuned in to CITR Radio, 101.9 FM in Vancouver, CITR.ca.
And we back, and we back, and we back.
All right.
Please donate. Anyway, so after our...
That concludes our conversation on Let's Start Here.
Little Boat. And we'll have a brief conversation here about the new Sam Smith record, Gloria.
Yeah. Dropped the same day as Let's Start Here. This is what? Sam Smith's fourth record, maybe? I believe it's... Yep, Sam Smith's fourth record. 13 tracks, 33 minutes, shorter than his last record, which I really enjoyed, Love Goes, from mid-2020. Kind of one of those quarantine records, and I think it's a dope record. The last record's a dope record about yearning and coming so close but now feeling so far. This record's totally different.
It's got a lot of good tracks about identity, self-expression, finding yourself, loving yourself. Being yourself, loving who you want to love.
Although sonically, it kind of all sounds the same. The growth is in, you can see the growth in Sam Smith's personal life.
Yeah, I think there's a decent amount of, like, sonic, well, I guess maybe not difference over record, but there's a good variety on the album itself.
Agreed. We got dance in there. I think there's only one ballad. I like that he's kind of trying to move away from that. I like that Sam's trying to move away from that. Obviously, that's what got him big. We know them. Stay With Me, Them. That's what got them big. Stay With Me, Lay Me Down. So I think How to Cry is the only kind of ballad record that Sam has on this album. Yeah. And it's good.
Yeah, it's a very good song about, like... Men crying.
Yeah.
Showing their feelings.
Yeah, about the acknowledgement of that and the acceptance and okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Sam Smith's sound regardless. I think I listen to a Sam Smith record every time one drops.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I am someone who is super into seeing growth, like you said, seeing the greater constellation, even when it's not sonically. Like here, Sam Smith's sound, the kind of songs he puts on here, it's largely the same. The songs they put on there, it's largely the same as the last previous records.
Yeah.
But the personal growth is there.
Absolutely.
And you can really enjoy this album like that.
Mm-hmm.
The topics are definitely different for Sam. And they're so comfortable in it. And they're thriving. And it's awesome to see. It's almost a heartwarming album.
Yeah. It is, definitely, especially with the closing track with Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
Definitely leaves it on a very positive note.
Ed Sheeran in his bag there.
Yes. Ed Sheeran in his wedding song.
Yep.
Bag is just different.
What's your favorite track off this record?
Unholy is definitely one of my favorites. The big single beforehand that
huge
they got
single.
Way bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
Like Sam Smith songs could get in 2023.
I agree.
But I like it a lot. I think it's a good song. I'm Not Here to Make Friends, the Calvin Harris track with Jesse Reyes as well. I like it. I'm mixed on the chorus, but like the pre-chorus is really strong. But the chorus itself, the high, extremely high pitched singing and whatnot, I'm just not overly into it. Lose You's good.
As Lose You's
is
dope.
As is No God.
Yep.
My favorite
intro track's dope.
Yep.
If I had one criticism, I mean, and or maybe Sam Smith is just that good on this record, is that outside of the Ed Sheeran feature and the first Jesse Reyes feature, I find the other features to be quite weak.
Yeah, Gimme.
Gimme's just, like, not going to lie, the Jesse Reyes feature on that is so annoying that you can barely listen to the song.
Yeah, it's kind of like a reggae thing. Am I wrong to say that?
Well, Coffee's on there.
Yeah. Just,
it feels like Coffee's only on there for, like, 30 seconds, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kim Petras is the weaker verse of the two on Unholy. Doesn't mean she's bad.
No.
That song's obviously amazing. But I think she is weaker than Sam, which is probably more kudos to Sam Smith, to be honest, because he is Sam Smith.
Yeah.
I like, and then obviously Calvin Harris. You trust Calvin Harris to do something groovy and dope, and he does.
Yeah. The guy sitting across from me is a big Calvin Harris guy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Calvin Harris.
I like him too, but I feel like you're like deep in the Calvin Harris trenches.
It sounds like you weren't around for Motion.
I remember like really liking Summer when that song came out. That was like my first exposure to
okay.
So was that Motion?
Yeah.
Okay. Then
18
I was,
Months is my favorite Calvin
then
Harris
I was
record.
Sort of around.
That was like that. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he dated. Did he date Taylor Swift? Like he's been around for a long time, man.
Yeah.
This is an easy record to listen to.
Oh, absolutely.
You can
unlike the Yachty albums. Definitely a shock to the system in some ways and a little more abrasive, but what you get with Sam Smith's album here is it's a pop album, mainstream pop album, pretty easy to listen to, nothing offensive.
Yep.
Or like insanely left field. It's just consistently good.
Yep.
I think. And I like that it's short. I like it doesn't try to do too much or overstay its welcome. It stays within the bounds quite comfortably and does it quite well.
Hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah.
So, I think we should play, obviously we'll play a track off this record.
Yeah.
What are you thinking? I'm leaning towards Lose You.
Then we'll play Lose You.
All right.
Which is a good song.
I think this kind of shows the dive. Lose You, maybe before, let's give Lose You some context. Like you said, Sam Smith packs in a lot of kind of different song structures into his records.
There.
Yeah, into their records. And they all still sound poppy and awesome. But they're like Lose You is kind of a dance track.
Yeah.
And How to Cry is a ballad, and Love Me More is like an acoustic pop song. And Sam Smith does them all really well. And it's another reason that you can really enjoy this album, because it changes so often, but it's still in the same lane pretty much.
Yeah, exactly.
Easy to enjoy, man. Anyways, yeah. This is Lose You off Sam Smith's new record, Gloria.
You say you're packing your bags. This isn't what I thought forever would be. You're walking out so casually. How could you give up on us like that? You say you're feeling the pressure and you'll be better with me out of your life. But baby, that ain't happening tonight. Want you to know that I'm willing to make this right. To feel you back here in my arms. You bring that spiritual calm. When I'm with you, it's like nothing can go wrong. I'll be crazy if I gave you up. When you give me that unfiltered love, it is all I need. I can hardly breathe. You are what I want.
$10 latte? Seagull got your fiver?
$63 digital textbook?
$8 Twitter blue checkmark?
What have you been doing with your money? Tinder Plus?
And Tinder Gold?
Do you pay for pre-rolls at dispensaries instead of just learning to roll?
Hot water bill? Really?
Oh, and that Arc'teryx beanie isn't worth your last paycheck.
You even got your Uncle Walter a Bob Ross Funko Pop for his 45th birthday party, a party that you had to ask to get invited to, and you had to go to f***ing Burnaby for that shit.
Plus, we know the price of eggs and your organic produce.
Want to know a better way to spend your money? Donate to the CITR Intersectionality Collective.
You can donate by going to www.citr.ca/donate. That's www.citr.ca/donate. And don't forget to select the Intersectionality Collective. It's either that, or keep lighting your f***ing money on fire.
Hey there, this is Abril from Love in Public. This week is Fun Drive here at CITR, the one time each year where we ask for your support to help us keep local, independent, and alternative voices on the air. For me, CITR is a space where I realize anyone could be a radio show host. I grew up as a backseat listener to shows like This American Life and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, but I never imagined that I could be a voice that you'd hear when you turned on the radio in the car. I'd listen to people like Ira Glass and think, wow, I want to be just like him when I grow up. The more and more time that I've spent with the nest of care at CITR, the more I've realized that radio is for everyone. Representation matters, and I want to make sure no little brown girl, or anyone else for that matter, ever feels like they don't belong on the airwaves. Come as you are, there's room for you here. If you're in a position to contribute to CITR and the work that we do here, please visit citr.ca/donate today. That's citr.ca/donate. Thank you so much.
And we back, and we back, and we back.
All right, some closing thoughts.
Yeah.
Pretty
good week for music, man.
Yeah. We didn't even go over. Maybe we'll shout out some singles that we think people should listen to.
Yeah, I kind of lacked in my due diligence this week. This was really Hugh's endeavor.
Do You Like Me, Daniel Caesar? Awesome. Silent Running by Gorillaz featuring...
I feel like Gorillaz are just constantly coming out with new singles.
It's cut off. I can't see who that other is. Anyways, Gorilla. Trustfall by Pink is super dope. Shout out Pink. The longevity's crazy. That is a really good pop song. That's like the best pop song I've heard in a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called Trustfall by Pink.
Trustfall, all right.
S.G. Lewis releasing a record. I'm a big S.G. Lewis fan. It's called Audio Lust and Higher Love. That's a good record to check out. Zach Bryan, for you country fans. I'm not the biggest country guy, but Zach Bryan can do some pretty dope stuff. And his new song, Dawns, featuring Maggie Rogers, of all people, which is a dope feature, is good. Who else did I really like? Rule, Australian singer-songwriter, song called Must Be Nice, super dope by him. Zara Larsson dropped a record. You know what her songs are kind of like. They're kind of all the same. Just like she's kind of stuck in 2015 still.
Yeah.
Like the pop song over the, it's almost like Chainsmokers, but it's just her.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the records that I really liked. Rita Ora dropped a record called You Only Love Me. It's a good record too. Kid Laroi. Now here's one I did not like. I love Kid Laroi. I still play like Stay to this day, like heavily. Like it's in my rotation.
Yeah.
Kid Laroi released the intro track to his new album, which I assume will be coming out in the next 2 months or something. And then he dropped this single. And Kid Laroi's team is like, Kid Laroi has become so big that now he's surrounded by some of the greatest producers and songwriters. His music is almost guaranteed to be good. However, I really didn't think this song. This was probably the worst Kid Laroi song I heard in 2 years. This is obviously subjective, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of mixed on Kid Laroi.
Really?
Like, Stay's obviously a absolute banger of a track, but then like Without You, is that what the song's called?
Yeah, the no drums.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Yeah, that song just sound, his voice just sounds like nails on a chalkboard, man.
Yeah, I mean,
so is this song kind of like that where he's like trying to sing way too much for his own good?
No, there's none of that. It's just kind of monotonous.
Oh.
I actually like Without You. He's obviously trying to be Post Malone a little bit, maybe. Or maybe people just think that it... Or maybe his... I like his raspy kind of reaching. I don't mind Without You.
Okay.
I mean, it is a caveat that Stay's written by Charlie Puth. We know how amazing Charlie Puth is.
Mm-hmm.
But he executes on Stay.
Oh, yes. No, that Stay is an entirely different beast compared to Without You. Like, Stay's got a huge instrumental, and...
Yeah, Without You's like one of those hits with no drum.
Yeah.
And wow.
I just don't like the way he's singing on that song. That's kind of that's kind of the entire song. It's just his voice, and it's just
I agree.
Bad. But that's not what this is about.
1,000 Miles is good, though.
All right.
Which is the single. You know 1,000 Miles. That's a good record. As far as music tonight, I have no idea what's going to be coming out, but we'll talk about it next week, man.
Yeah, we'll be back in the seat.
Should we close it out to... Let's close it out to this S.G. Lewis song.
Sure.
I think this is a cool record. I think people will really enjoy this.
Okay.
So this is S.G. Lewis. Mm-hmm. This song's called Oh Laura, off of his album or EP.
Or EP.
Well, with like these DJ kind of artists, you don't know if it's a full-blown album or an EP. I'm going to with an album. So this is off his new album, Audio Lust and Higher Love. This is Oh Laura by S.G. Lewis. Thank you guys for listening. This has been Music on the Menu.
Yep.